This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks, everybody, for joining us and being part of our Monday show. Boy, over the weekend, sports was back in a big way, and we are all over it. This morning, it felt like everything was happening at the same time. The NBA, of course, returned late last week on Thursday, so the first full weekend of the NBA. The NHL also returned this weekend as well, so we had both basketball and hockey and games that counted. We had the rest of the sports world also back, and this was the first full-on sports weekend in a long, long time. So boy, do we have a lot to dig into this morning on the show. Our friend Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us from the Globe. Always fun to talk to Dan about what's eating Dan Shaughnessy. I think that's kind of like a new Trash Tuesday. What's eating Dan will happen a little bit later on in the show, hour number 4. Over the course of this morning, we'll tackle a lot of the stuff that happened over the weekend. We had baseball and crazy things for sluggers in New York. For Yoenis Cespedes, quirky, weird, mysterious, and frustrating. For Aaron Judge, my goodness, nobody is playing at the level that he is right now. We'll talk about that next hour. Also next hour, the debut episode of Canadian Bacon. Every morning during the NHL's postseason, Mraz, our Don Cherry a la mode, will deliver the nightlights, the best goals, players, and sound bites. We go north of the border with Canadian Bacon coming up here next hour on the show. Rob Manfred's getting into it with the players after the Marlins and Cardinals situations go haywire. Could the NBA be frustrated with Zion's limited minutes? And in college football, could the NCAA be staring down the barrel of the Power Five up and leaving as soon as this week? All of that coming up this morning here on the show. Now, if you want to jump into the fray because this was the first full-on sports weekend, you got thoughts, you got takes, you got opinions, any of that that I just mentioned on the table, let's do it. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, of course, follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Some really good NBA over the weekend. And just as a generality, I thought the product, if you were a fan watching the NBA, was good. I thought that over the weekend, watching games played with a regular season intensity felt legit. I thought that the way that the teams put out their players, put out their starting lineups, the way that the players competed late in games, I thought by and large the basketball is pretty good. From a viewer's experience, also pretty good. You didn't see tons of open seats. They had those digital fans in there, so it felt like there was movement. It was a better version, a tech version of the cardboard cutouts, pockmarking baseball stadiums. And while those seemed totally bizarre and stationary and quiet, you know, having moving digital fans at these games for the NBA, I thought, felt a little bit more energized. Also, big video boards behind you could kind of take your mind away from it being in an empty arena. And I thought the piped-in crowd noise gave it enough energy. At times, I thought it was too high. I thought specifically there were games that they were riding it too high, and I couldn't really hear the announcers. And look, a game like the Bucks and Rockets last night, if that game is played in Houston, it's never going to be too loud to where we can't hear Breen and Mark Jackson. That's not going to be the case, okay? Especially a regular season game, even if it is the Milwaukee Bucks. So there were moments where I thought they rode it too hot. But again, I thought largely what we saw from the NBA this weekend was good, was a good viewer experience, and the NBA playoffs are going to feel good, I think. And again, the fact that the teams and the players are staying safe and no positive tests mean we've got reason to believe that this can work. On the floor, we saw the return of the Los Angeles Lakers, and we saw LeBron get a thrilling win over the Clippers when things open up on Thursday night. And then the Lakers had game number two against the Toronto Raptors. Now, all of the glitz, all of the glamour, all of the attention, of course, is with the Lakers in a matchup like this. But here are the Raptors very consistently, very quietly going about their business, minus Kawhi Leonard, and having another phenomenal season. And the other night, we saw the Raptors absolutely dominate the Lakers early in this game and cruise to a double-digit win. And the most important piece of the puzzle for the Raptors was absolutely Kyle Lowry, who just dominated in every aspect of this game. In the 107-92 win over the Lakers, Kyle Lowry had 33 points. That's a game high, and a game that, of course, had both AD and LeBron. They completely shut down AD defensively. 33 points, 14 rebounds. That's a career high. 6 assists, and the Raptors cruised to a very impressive win. You know, after a championship last year, the Toronto Raptors are sizing up another deep run. And now without Kawhi Leonard, it makes you wonder, with Kyle Lowry, if he leads the Raptors back to an NBA Finals, or dare I say an NBA championship, could he place himself amongst the superstars, the one-named household identities of the NBA's biggest players? It is where we begin your cold open.
Lowry on the dribble, near side
right
wing.
Got the mismatch again, Jonesy.
He's got Kuzma, going to go to work. Kyle, pull up, three in the air. Good, in the bottom of the well. Lowry splashes it home. Give Kyle 30. Frank Vogel wants a timeout. 97-86, the Raptor lead is 11.
Our competitive spirit, we got too many competitive guys out there that want to go out there and play and hoop and win games. And, you know, especially playing against a guy like the Lakers and, you know, with a team that's number one in the West, you know, the competitive juices get going. Just want to win games, man, and just have an opportunity to go out there and play for my teammates. It's big for me.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
On the game call, that is Raptors radio, and that was Kyle Lowry after his big effort. I don't think Lowry's ever going to enter the pantheon of the one name, household name, NBA superstar. I don't think that's ever going to happen. He's already 34 years old. So it's really hard to turn into one of those guys that late in your career. Also, Kyle Lowry's, his game, his style doesn't lend itself to being a superstar. I've been very critical of Lowry over the years. I think he has floated through some games. I think sometimes he's been engaged, sometimes he hasn't been. I think at times the style of play also is not flashy. It's not highlight driven. That doesn't mean it's bad or ineffective. It just means those are the things that people really pay attention to. But Lowry right now is playing at such an elite level. And last year, remember, it wasn't just Kawhi. Lowry was phenomenal in the series win over the Warriors. So Lowry has big game chops. And he does not shy away from the moment. He doesn't have a big personality. He doesn't love the attention. That's not who he's about. But the Raptors have a really good chance at the Eastern Conference. I mean, we saw the Bucks last night end up blowing a lead late and allowing the Rockets to come back and win. And what we see from the Raptors is they're extremely well coached. They play swarming defense. They're long, they're deep, and they've got the chops from last year's NBA Finals run. So they're really dangerous in the East. When you look at the East and you look at the Bucks are certainly not so dominant that they can't be beat. The Boston Celtics are really good, but again, you would put the Raptors right there with them. In the East, we absolutely could see Toronto in the NBA Finals. And if we do, when Lowry has games like this, and there's not Kawhi who's sucking up all the oxygen in terms of attention, Lowry can put himself at that next level of stardom. I don't think he'll ever be super-duper NBA stardom, no matter what happens. But yes, America and the world would learn even more about Lowry, and he can continue to supplement his type of competitive nature and reputation as a big-game player if they go back to the NBA Finals and Lowry is playing like he did the other night in that big win over the Lakers. Again, hit me up at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, the NBA was back over the weekend. I know you guys talked about this on Friday morning, but now we have the full-on weekend, all games, all teams, some teams playing multiple games. What were your takeaways from the NBA weekend that was?
First of all, the tightness of games. I am stunned at how ready to compete all these teams were. How many stories did we do over the pandemic, DA, that we didn't want to hear how long it was going to take players to get ready? You should have hoops. You should be going running. I thought the quality of play overall for all of these games was great. I mean, yesterday's Blazers-Celtics game on a Sunday afternoon with Breen and Van Gundy on the call, I shut my eyes and felt like I was watching a late playoff push game in March. That's how good the quality was. That's how good the back and forth was. I think overall this is going completely crisp. I love the look of the virtual fans. I love the look of three rows worth of benches. The TV shots really don't make me miss fans. You pointed out the crowd noise, DA. Looking more into it, I can't believe that they found fans that bought virtual seats for about $1,500, had iPads sent to them that they could press buttons to cheer and boo. I think everything for the NBA has come really well together. And we had Howard Beck on the show at the end of last week, and he kind of threw cold water on the 8 regular season games. He basically called them glorified exhibitions. But, man, I found myself really captivated, really into it. The Bucks-Celtic game Friday night, too, the back and forth. I think the quality is there. It looks great on TV, and I have jumped right back in. And if it wasn't for a heat wave outside, I would totally think this was spring again.
With the finishes that we've seen, the fourth quarters that we've seen over the first weekend, I think Howard was wrong, and I love Howard Beck, but these did not feel like glorified scrimmages. These guys were playing late in games. The stars were out deep into the fourth quarters at the end of games. I mean, last night, it's James Harden, Russell Westbrook dueling right against Giannis. It had the feeling of, no, these games really matter, and it matters to these guys. So I think that they've taken it really seriously as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know what else is kind of influencing him? If you notice some of the shots at some of these big games, and maybe this will be less as the games go on and more teams get eliminated. I love that these other players are taking time to go to some of these games with, you know, that's one of the things they could do, because it almost feels like, you know, if you're on the court, it's not as if all of a sudden Russell Westbrook's in Houston, now he's showing up and watching LeBron play. You almost feel like because you're in front of your other peers that you have to perform, because you're just going to get dogged on and just going to get ragged on. And the idea that these other players are attending these games as the fans, I think is totally, totally pushing these guys to go, I can't take any time off because I got to outdo this one or that one. It's pretty insane watching the other players attend the other games they're not involved with, and that's pushing some of these players on the court.
Really successful opening weekend for the NBA, which we are talking about, including when we come back. Two very surprising things happened on opening weekend. What was more surprising? TJ Warren, who hit 50, or Dame Dalla passed up the game-tying shot? We'll go into that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
I gotta get a picture of Marlins man. Look, this Marlins man. Look at me. I'm gonna put it on Instagram. I'm with Marlins. Can you believe I'm with that guy who wears the orange shirt at every game? Look at me, Mom. All right, give me 100 likes on Instagram.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Marlins man being back, but being back at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City was the height of obnoxiousness, and it was just another reason to absolutely hate Marlins, man. If you want to buy a cardboard cutout for whatever amount of money you want to buy at the home of the Marlins, that's fine. But to do so at the home of the Royals, so that once again you stick out like a sore thumb and that you can get attention, my goodness, Marlins, man, is insufferable. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Be listening later on to the show. We'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. The DA Show every single day is available in podcast form. Miss anything? Want to hear it again? Sports are back. And so if you want to catch up on our thoughts from the day and night before, just simply search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe for free. Mraz, did I see on social media that Marlins man gave you a who question mark because you had ripped him, and that he retweeted you and said who? Did he deliver Marlins man to you, the leader of Chubbo Nation, the Thictator, the talk to the hand?
He gave me a who like he's some kind of celebrity. Not to get too much into this, DA, Marlins man offered every major league team $1,000 to allow him to be a cardboard cutout behind the plate. Only the A's and Royals said yes. This after Marlins man claimed he had hundreds of requests asking where he was in the opening week of baseball. And then he followed up with, oh, how did I spend my money with all the money I'm saving? Oh, I bought a third Lamborghini and 15 racehorses to get myself up to 80 racehorses in the middle of nobody being able to afford anything.
This guy
stinks.
He's the worst. He truly is the worst. And so I thought, though, that he had blocked you. How was he able to see your tweet to give you the who, the very disrespectful who?
saw he didn't block CBS Sports Radio, which tweeted the video out of me ranting on Marlins Man, and then he unblocked me to allow pot shots at me. And then all of a sudden, he must have 20 burner accounts, or he's got the weirdest group of friends ever that just harassed me all weekend about how I look like the moon, I look like the thumb with a beard, you wish you had the money that Marlins Man had, how charitable he is, I stink, I'm a doughboy, I'm this, that, and the other thing.
It's great if Marlins Man donates money to good causes, and by accounts, he does. It doesn't mean he has to be a jerk during it. It doesn't mean everything has to be about him. And it's such a weird thing when people jump to the defense of Marlins Man. It's like, yeah, it's great that he donates money, but that doesn't come with having to be an SOB. You can actually be a decent person and donate. I don't know if anybody's noticed this before. So like defending Marlins Man for being the most obnoxious guy ever just because he gives to charity is not really a good defense, because plenty of people do that and don't act like a fool like he does.
Yeah, I learned a very valuable lesson. He's not the biggest fool. The, quote, hundreds of people who really were concerned where Marlins Man's cardboard cutout was are the bigger fools. I mean, who cares?
So over the weekend, the NBA had two wait-a-second moments. They had a lot of wait-a-second moments, I suppose, but two that really stood out. Number one, the Indiana Pacers got 53 points from TJ Warren. Wait a second. Who? Career high 53 in a win over the Sixers this weekend. Yes, TJ Warren had 53. You might be asking yourself, well, who the hell is TJ Warren? That's a good question. He goes for 53, including 19 in the fourth quarter in the Pacers' 127-121 win over the Sixers. His teammates, though, weren't surprised, saying, if you know TJ, you know he's a bucket. It's not surprising to me. We just kept feeding the hot hand, to be honest, and he was on fire. That's Pacers guard Aaron Holiday. Victor Oladipo is teammate. TJ's been scoring his whole life, ever since his AAU days, right to NC State. He's been a scorer since as long as I've known him, and I've known him for a long time. He was born to get buckets. So it's no surprise to any of us that he was able to do what he did tonight. Warren becomes just the fifth player in NBA history to hit 9 threes and 9 twos in the same game. He joins James Harden, Kobe, Steph Curry, and then Damian Lillard. So it was a crazy thing to see TJ Warren join that crew. That crew. He was the 14th overall pick 6 years ago out of NC State. So he's not a young buck. He's not a rookie or second-year guy that you've never heard of. He's had a career already, 6 seasons in the NBA, but goes for 53. TJ actually had scored 40 at another point in his career, so Warren has proven that he can score in bunches. Damian Lillard, though, has never proven that he would pass up the game-tying or the game-winning shot. The Blazers are playing the Celtics in that fantastic back-and-forth game Mraz had mentioned middle of yesterday. And Damian Lillard of the Blazers, down by three, run a play for Lillard. And look, this guy has been a big shot machine over the course of his career. He loves taking the final shot. There's nobody else on the Blazers that would even think about or smell taking the final shot. CJ McCollum has been very good, but everybody knows in a moment like that, you defer to Dame Dolla. He is going to get that shot, and he's usually going to make that shot. He's done it in the past. And in this case, they run a play for Damian Lillard. And instead of him taking that game-tying three, he passes out of it to an open cutter for the easy two, but just a couple of seconds to play. The Celtics go back down the floor and hit a couple of free throws because they've got a foul right away because there's no time left. And the Blazers don't really have a shot to get up the next shot that would potentially tie it. So what Lillard did is pass up the moment, because there wasn't another moment. He thought he was making maybe the smart move, but went back and said, you know what? I thought there was more time. There wasn't. I made a mistake. So what's more surprising, that T.J. Warden, of all people, had a 50-burger, or that Damian Lillard passed up the big shot? I got to say, I think it's Lillard. I mean, I think it's Lillard because he always wants the shot. Even when the shot's not there, he wants the shot. When the shot is there, he absolutely is going to take the shot, and he's never going to apologize for it. Where, you know, anybody can have a big day in the NBA, especially with his restart, how tight our defense is. You know, that's kind of random, and we kind of expect a little random upon the reboot of the NBA. I couldn't believe that Lillard was going to pass up that shot, and that he didn't know how much time was on the clock, because Lillard's so smart like that. So I found that to be even more surprising. He made a smart basketball play if there's more time. But with as much time as there is on the clock, it didn't really give his team any more breath, any more oxygen for the comeback. And a crazy game goes to the Celtics, in which Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were just absolutely monsters. And we'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy about that coming up here later on in the show. But the Celtics are a real problem in the Eastern Conference, because, you know, you look at the Bucks and you look at the Raptors and you look at the Celtics, and the Celtics have two kids that are now becoming real men in this league, Tatum and Brown. And if they play like that, and they have a healthy Kemba, who's not healthy right now, that is a really scary formidable lineup for any of those teams to face in the Eastern Conference. Mraz, what was more surprising, Dame Lillard passing up a game-winning shot or a game-tying shot of this instance, or T.J. Warren's 53?
So it's got to be Lillard because of the killer instinct he had. But if I was down the middle, the moment you said Pacer teammates call T.J. Warren a, quote, bucket, how do I not think it's Damian Lillard? If everybody in Indiana is walking around looking at T.J. Warren going, that's a bucket. Look, here he is. That's the bucket. If he's ultimately the bucket and he's going to score 50 points, it's got to be Dame Lillard passing up the shot.
Did you know before 3 minutes ago that T.J. Warren was considered by his teammates to be, quote, a bucket?
No, I had no idea. And honestly, if somebody called me a bucket, I don't know if I'd take that as a compliment. It's round, it's empty usually. That's a weird thing to call somebody.
Yeah, you're a bucket for a totally different reason than T.J. Warren.
Right. I pull up to KFC and immediately everybody looks at me and goes, that's a bucket. There's no doubt.
Oh, man, the bucket's back. Nice. The bucket's back. Look at the bucket. He wants a family size. All right. And you're feeling good. And then suddenly you're like, oh. No, totally different reason. The Kind Sir of Kind Sirs is back with your headlines for another fun, wild, and woolly week here aboard the mothership. His name is Andrew Bogish. Bogues, hope you had a good weekend. Good morning.
Pro boner, DA. Good morning to you. Welcome back. Pro boners for everybody. Here's your report, sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Philadelphia Eagles head coach Doug Peterson has coronavirus but remains asymptomatic. He'll do as much as possible from home, while assistant head coach Deuce Staley is in charge at the facility. Now, passing game coordinator Press Taylor was sent home as a precaution because he's been around Peterson in recent days. QB Gardner Minshew, one of five Jaguars placed on the COVID-19 list yesterday. That means they've either tested positive or been around someone that has. In regular transactions, the Browns placed Jarvis Landry on the PUP list as he continues recovering from off-season hip surgery, but Landry remains on target to return in general. And Colts wideout T.Y. Hilton's on the non-football injury list after straining a hamstring working out at home recently. The St. Louis Cardinals are still in Milwaukee waiting on their latest round of coronavirus results. They reportedly have one more positive while also waiting to confirm four inconclusive results from Saturday. For now, they are scheduled to play four games over 3 days in Detroit starting tomorrow. On the field, Aaron Judge's second home run of the night, a two-run shot bottom eight, got the Yanks a 9-7 home win over the Red Sox. That is six in a row for the Bombers. The Orioles beat the Rays 5-1. For a three-game sweep, their first series sweep since late August of 2018. And while the Mets were losing 4-0 in Atlanta, Yoenis Cespedes was opting out of the rest of the season. At first, Yo simply no-showed for the game and wouldn't answer the Mets' calls. He may reportedly be upset about playing time, thinking the team was trying to keep him from reaching certain bonuses. Now to the NBA, the Rockets held off the Bucks last night at Disney World 120-116, and then James Harden held off some reporters and their questions about his defense.
I would say there's maybe a narrative out there that you don't play defense. What would you say to those that believe that? And then do you think that you proved something tonight?
And then there was this.
Giannis in the past said that his team's plan was to go at you defensively because it would be considered the best advantage for
and
them.
And then Harden's answer.
No, I have nothing to prove to anybody. Nothing to say.
Harden, part of two defensive stops that got Houston
reporters
that win last night.
Reporters are in mid-season form. I mean, boy, they took a couple of months off, and nobody's going easy. I mean, hey, James Harden, people think you suck at defense. Do you think you suck at defense?
I mean, are these Zoom muscles? Because you're not in the same room, you can ask a tougher question.
So. Yeah, that might be true. We might have some really, really interesting NBA Finals press conferences.
The Suns got by the Mavs in the final game yesterday, 117-115. And the Celtics took that mini thriller from Lillard and the Blazers, 128-124, 34 points for Jason Tatum. College poops, Iowa big man Luka Garza withdrawing from the NBA draft, returning to school. Garza is likely the preseason National Player of the Year. On ice last night, Minnesota shut out Vancouver 3-0, the Blue Jackets 2, the Leafs nothing for 1-0 series leads. The Avalanche stunned the Blues 2-1 in their seeding game. Nazem Kadri scoring the game-winning power play goal with 0.1 seconds left. Full details of that next hour in Canadian Bacon. And Justin Thomas won the St. Jude Invitational to retake the number one world ranking from John Rahm. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. This one's for LeBron. LeBron, Skip Bayless thinks you suck and you're going bald. Care to respond?
Fair question.
Awkward. Yeah, coming up here next hour, we'll talk about the ridiculous Sunday that was Yoenis Cespedes and the ridiculous 4 years in New York with the Mets for Yoenis Cespedes and just how remarkable Aaron Judge's start to the season has been. And as Bogish mentioned, Canadian Bacon, your day in the Stanley Cup playoffs with Mraz hosting coming up next hour as well. But when we come back, this is a really interesting This Date in Mothership history. We've played a number of this dates that you know off the top of your head. Oh, I remember when this happened. I know how this unfolds. I don't remember how this goes, but I have a guess. This goes back to our first year, 2013, of the overnights. And apparently Mraz and Schwartz argue over tipping. So I think I know where we're going, but I don't know because I don't remember this. Let's hear it next. This Date Mothership History. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's This Date in Mothership History.
All right, this is exciting. Let's go back to August the 3rd, 2013. 7 years ago, our first year on the air. So this is a mere 7 months into the Mothership on CBS Sports Radio. And we are discussing whether you tip on takeout orders. Here is Mraz v. Schwartz.
Drew Brees, a picture of his signed receipt on a takeout order from a Chinese fusion restaurant in California. He got a takeout order of $74. And the receipt was posted by the waitress on Twitter, on Instagram, I guess. And he wrote a $3 tip in to make it $77 on a takeout order. So the debate was whether or not Drew Brees is cheap. Now, there seems to be a differing school of thought here in this studio. Schwartzo,
yes.
Do you tip on a takeout
never.
Order?
Never.
Never. You never?
No, because you're ordering something. They're doing their job in preparing the food for you.
Uh-huh.
You go. They put it in a bag. You take it home. You don't tip.
Mraz?
Schwartz, I don't even want to look at you right now. It's so disrespectful, and you just have no respect for the employees behind there. I served and busted my hump as a sandwich artist for 9 years at Subway.
Sandwich artist.
That's right. That's right. And we basically lived off those tips. We don't get paid anything, okay? Sandwich artists, takeout guys, past and present, we stick together. That tip jar is usually out there. Stick a buck in there if I make you a sandwich. The guy's getting Chinese food, $72 order. He can't tip up to the 80 bucks and get the round dollar. What does he need it for? Anybody who doesn't tip on a takeout order just doesn't have a grasp of reality. It's a disgrace.
That is so wrong. It's Mraz, so wrong.
Mraz. You're telling me that on a $74 takeout order, you should tip 20%?
I think he should tip 20%. I think the $3 is perfectly acceptable for a normal human being. Drew Brees is a pillar in that society. I think he should have maybe even rounded up to 100 bucks. It's a total disgrace. As somebody who served food and sat there on lunch lines, putting 6 pieces of salami, 6 pieces of pepperoni, 4 pieces of ham. That's an Italian BMT. I deserve a little tip there.
Look at Kenny. Look at the expression on Kenny's face. He is rubbing his eyeballs.
If you can afford to not cook and eat out, you can afford to tip these kids a couple bucks. It's a disgrace.
So I think that was the most predictable outcome. I don't remember that debate. Actually, I kind of do now that we reset it. But the most predictable outcome there was that Schwartz was totally anti-tipping anything on takeout. So I wonder how much the IHOP ladies got when they finally got around to his pancakes on Mother's Day and they were an hour and a half late. I'm sure he actually stuck his hand in the tip jar and took out money, stuck it in his pocket.
Look, a 20.
What we didn't fully grasp there 7 months in that we grasped 7 years later, DA, is this. The reason he doesn't tip on that is because he'd have to tip 6 days a week, where some of us only get that one day a week, maybe, and that's where we feel more comfortable tipping.
So I am still somewhat torn on this. I do end up tipping on takeout, but I don't tip the full 20%. In this case, I think we're in lockstep here, Mraz, because you were suggesting he goes up to the $80 mark, which would have been like maybe a 10% tip. I think it was a $74 or $72 bill. And you said get up to 80. 20% would have been like 14 bucks. So you're saying maybe hedge the bet, split the difference, maybe a 10% tip.
Right. And I do acknowledge that I'm giving you a sliding scale. This is a Drew Brees when he tips $3 and it's only $4 to get off to a round amount of 80. I do think it's a little different than me or Schwartz going in and tipping the $7 as opposed to $3. I do think it's a bit of a sliding scale when you're a multimillionaire. But I generally, if I'm paying with a card and it has that little tip thing and it's a takeout order, and even if it's like, let's say I spend $75.68 or something like that, I will make it a full $80 because at that point, you know, if I'm going to tip $2, $3, and it's only another dollar and change more, I just look at it. I'd rather just have the round number charged to my card.
That must be difficult math for you to do regularly.
You know, there's probably times that I have screwed up the change plus the change equals
imagine.
80, and the restaurants just give me the benefit of the doubt because I'm signing the total.
Yeah.
But ultimately, DA, I find myself more locked in on math when it comes to hunger and focus. You know, the Great Badlands Booker once said, I'm hungry and focused. That happens often when I pick up takeout orders. It's like I become warped, totally, you know, locked in. If I've picked up this order, it smells good. The nachos, the wings are cooking through my nose. I'm going to lock in and do the math there, I think.
Okay, so on a $74 Chinese takeout bill, you're tipping up to 80. You're not going to go 20% of that.
Right, and again, it's different if I'm spending $12, then I'm not going to tip up to 20. But if you've already invested the $75, honestly, you have the money to spend, does it really matter that you're going to spend, you know? And I also get this way. If I'm going to tip $2, $3 anyway, it's only another $2 to get me to $75. Do I need that $2 more than these people who have made sure everything is together in my package? Now, if I tip like that and I give the extra bucks and I get home and the pint of fried rice is missing, I'm going to be furious because part of the tip is I'm trusting you've gathered and made sure I'm going to have no stress when I get home taking apart this order.
Bogues, where do you sit on tipping for takeout?
Yeah, I admittedly had a blind spot to this for a really long time, and I've always prided myself on being a really good tipper at a restaurant, like always 20%. I try to give the tip in cash as much as possible because I had heard that if you put it on the card, sometimes they don't get it right away because the place can't pay everybody out in cash to make up for it. but it never crossed my mind on a takeout order. Now, at Subway, a sandwich artist, a guy going down the line making my thing, or anywhere that has a tip jar out, I might put a dollar in at the register, almost guaranteed, but it never dawned on me doing takeout when I was like taking a waiter or a waitress out of the equation to tack on another $5 or $6 for a really long time. Like, I was embarrassed when I don't even know if this might have been the conversation, but at some point there was like a ta-da moment where like, man, I've been really dropping the ball on this. So I still don't know if I give enough, but like Sean said, I think the roundup method is the way to go, as long as you're not rounding up by like 91 cents. If you can throw a couple extra dollars on there to get you to a round number, I think that's kind of where I go. And that may still not be enough, but it used to be zero, embarrassingly so. So I think I'm doing at least slightly better now.
So you used to be in the Schwartz camp, and then you've evolved towards the Mraz camp.
Because I didn't realize that like the tipping, when you're sitting there at a restaurant and you tip whatever it is, like that gets pooled and everybody shares it. So like I thought I was taking all of those people out of the equation by not eating at the restaurant. But I think even still the kitchen staff who put your order together that you're taking out would get your tip money if you're there. So you might not need to tip a waiter anymore, but you need to tip everybody that's in the back putting your stuff together. But it's definitely not the same percentage, at least in my mind, as being in the restaurant having a full meal brought to you there.
Also, vitally important these days, treat staff well. Treat staff with courtesy, with generosity, because they are working under duress. Unlike before pandemic, they're having to wear a lot of hats. They're under a lot of stresses, and probably staffs have been cut, shifts have been cut. So more than anything, understand if your food's not quite on time. Understand if there's a little bit of a delay. Understand if maybe they got something wrong. Just understand. Be courteous and understanding and compassionate, because these people, I have not gone many places and gotten takeout or actually sat outside and eaten and not felt like they were really hustling, that they were really trying hard and doing their best. And it's really important to remember that they're doing a lot more work today than they used to, and they're still doing a hell of a job. So keep that in mind when you go out.
Yeah. Especially on a Mother's Day or something, DA, too. You know, if it's a Mother's Day and you want some chain pancakes, be curious. I understand it's going to take a little time.
A Mother's Day specifically, if you're getting takeout pancakes, I would say would be the most important time to remember that courteousness, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. There's no question. Be courteous if ordering chain pancakes on Mother's Day.
Doing More, sponsored by The Home Depot. Go to homedepot.com for all of your storage, carpet, and flooring solutions in one place. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Speaking of, TJ Warren, we just discussed his huge outburst of 53 points last segment. In the Pacers' 127-120 win over the Sixers, he goes 9 of 12 from three-point land, shoots 20 of 29 from the floor. The Pacers are currently the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what GEICO could already save you? So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. Now, when we come back, the tale of two cities in the same city. We have two sluggers, Aaron Judge and Yoenis Cespedes, who came into Sunday and had two totally different days, one of which was a hero, one of which was a villain, and probably never sniffed again in New York and maybe never sniffed again in Major League Baseball. We'll discuss how remarkably different these two sluggers in New York's days were. Coming up here next on the show and later on in the show, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. We are off and running on a Monday. This is DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.